When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you. We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Wake up and hang out with Ariel Epstein and Ben Stevens every morning on The Morning After, getting started at 9 a.m. Eastern, only on Sports Grid.
Great.
Hello, everyone, and welcome in to Fantasy Sports Grid TV. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined today by George Kurtz. Before we get into our headlines, we have breaking news. Adrian Wojnarowski just reported about 17 minutes ago. He has been told that Philadelphia 76ers All-Star Ben Simmons will not report for the open of training camp next week and intends to never play another game for the franchise. Simmons has not spoken to anyone from the 76ers organization since a late August meeting when he communicated that exact message to the 76ers officials. So, of course, that leads us to believe that Ben Simmons is very likely to be traded this upcoming season. The difficulty is, where exactly do we think that Ben Simmons is going to fit? He has already signed his Supermax contract, his cap hit over the next 5 years, $30 million this season, $33 million the next year, $35 million, $37 million, and $40 million. And he's not exactly the easiest possible player to give a roster fit for, right? So he has the max contract. Also, let's just be honest, he is not a great shooter. He has barely taken any three-pointers in his career. He shoots 14% from three. Theoretically, he's a point guard. Very hard to have a point guard that doesn't shoot. It's also hard to play Simmons at another position. So if you use him for his ball handling and for his ability on the wings, then you're looking at, well, you still have a non-shooter. Like, can we play this guy at center? Can we play this guy at power forward? A couple of the rumored teams to be interested in trading for him: the Toronto Raptors. They have the contracts to get it done. They also have had success with guys like this, right, turning them into shooters. I actually think that they could kind of put Ben Simmons on the Pascal Siakam program, where they basically lock him in a gym with 100 basketballs and they tell him to shoot until it feels like his arms are falling off. The Miami Heat, another team that is rumored to be interested. I actually would not be surprised to see Ben Simmons be traded to a team that has no ability to contend for a championship in 2021-2022. They could be absorbed into cap space, and they could try to turn him into a positive asset. Some of those teams would be the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Sacramento Kings. You could look in the Eastern Conference to a team like the Pistons. You could look to a team like the Cleveland Cavaliers. Those teams have the contracts to match it up. And it also is not going to surprise me, this is very sad and I can't believe I'm saying it, that the Philadelphia 76ers might have to attach a pick to Ben Simmons to move him on to another team. And that is your Ben Simmons update here at the beginning of the show. George, are you with me? Are you awake? Were you able to stay alive and stay alert during that that NBA update?
Ben Simmons, I do know. I've heard the name. I do know who that is. So might have taken me a bit to guess what team he was on, I think, but I do know. Man, the big beard. So I do know who Ben Simmons is, and I'm proud of myself for that.
I'm proud of you too. So our Tuesday headlines. The Green Bay Packers get back on track as they beat the Lions 35-17. I will say that scoreline does flatter the Packers a little bit. I mean, that was a close game in the first half. Jared Goff looked very good in the first half. Looked like that. I had the Packers in Survivor, and I was sweating it in the first half. I was not feeling great about that in the first half. Salvador Perez breaks the record for most home runs in a season by a catcher. He also, very importantly for me, created some more distance between himself and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. for most home runs in a season. They both have 46. I desperately cannot have Vlad Jr. win the Triple Crown. Colts quarterback Carson Wentz has multiple ankle sprains. And how about this? John Lester gets career win number 200 with the St. Louis Cardinals. The Cardinals firmly looking like they're going to get the second wild card in the National League. How surprising is that, George?
I'm flabbergasted. I truly am here. I don't know who didn't knock the Cardinals when they made that deal at the deadline. They acquired Happ and Lester. Two guys who weren't getting in. The Happ was a softball pitcher from Minnesota. Lester wasn't doing much more for the Washington Nats. And they go to St. Louis. And that's not that they've been great, but they've been solid. They sort of stabilized the rotation there. Yeah, I'm surprised. I know they can hit. I know they are history. You know, they know how to win there. But really, they've won 9 in a row, so they deserve it. They're not backing in here. But Cincinnati, the Mets, I mean, there's several teams here. Padres are just falling apart. Absolutely falling apart here. So good for the Cardinals. I think they're just a playoff fodder. They're going to play a one-game playoff against the Dodgers over the Giants. Adam Wainwright, who I don't know if he sold his soul to the devil or he's made a deal here, whatever he's doing here, but pitching great, looking like it's 10 years ago from now. So it'll be Adam Wainwright pitching that game against Max Scherzer or maybe Kevin Gausman, Desclafani. Should be interesting. If I'm the Cardinals, I want the Dodgers to win that division. I'll take my chances with the Giants.
Yep. Everyone, we have a action-packed show for you. Of course, we're going to recap that game for Monday night between the Packers and the Lions. We have some fantasy question marks looking at some of the players for teams that are still undefeated going into week 3. We are going to take a look at the futures market. We really have not looked at the futures market since the season started. So we have 2 weeks of line movement there. Of course, we have our underdog fantasy segment where we're going to look at the Thursday night pick'em lines. We're going to buy the dip on some guys. And then, of course, fantasy or reality to end the show. So everyone stay tuned. Stay on the grid. George and I will be updating you with everything you need to build winning fantasy football teams for the rest of the season. See you guys in a few moments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
And more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Great.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined by George Kurtz, and we are here to recap some of the fantasy standouts from the Week 2 Monday Night Football game. The Lions and the Packers played competitive first half. The Lions had 17 points in the first half. The Packers had 14, enough to make some of us who were on the Packers side in Survivor and Packers minus 11.5 sweat a little bit. 0 second half points for the Detroit Lions. Were you a little surprised by that, George, that basically they did the reverse of what they did against the 49ers? I mean, the 49ers in the second half, Jared Goff looked like Joe Montana, and then 0 second half points for the Lions. Were you surprised by that?
I don't know about surprised. I mean, I guess it's more surprised they didn't show up in the second half at all because Green Bay didn't look all that great in the first half either. So I was more surprised by that. They did get up to a hot start. Maybe it took Green Bay some adjustments to figure them out. I mean, it was a tale of two Goffs. You know, really, Goff had a really good first half, not so much in the second half. He had rain too. I think that threw him off a little bit as well. Maybe, you know, coming from Los Angeles, maybe he doesn't throw a wet ball well, whatever it might be here. But I think the result is what we expected. And let's face it. Yeah, it's a fantasy show. Last night was all about Aaron Jones. I know he affected three of my leagues, you know, that I never thought were going to endanger or that I was going to win them for that matter. I went 2-1 thanks to Aaron Jones last night. But the most heartbreaking thing I had to see was that I know somebody posted it on Twitter or was retweeted, whatever. Somebody had a 57-point lead, and all they were going up against was Aaron Jones and Hockenson. And they lost.
Not great. So taking a look here at our Green Bay Packers fantasy standouts, Aaron Rodgers, 22 of 27, 255 passing yards. He throws for 4 touchdowns, 3 of them to Aaron Jones, 1 to Robert Tonyan. No touchdown for Davante Adams. His fantasy football owners have to be feeling a little bit burnt by that. I actually think, and this is going to surprise some people, I think the lead here is Robert Tonyan. Because, well, I mean, the lead is Aaron Jones, right? So the lead is Aaron Jones. We feel very good about him. He looks like one of the best picks you could have made at the end of the first round. But what do we know about tight end, George? It's awful. I mean, tight end is just awful. Mark Andrews has been brutal. Evan Ingram has been injured. Gerald Everett just has 0 points. I mean, George Kittle is letting people who drafted him down. Tonyan, his role has really not changed from last season, but the question with Robert Tonyan is, can he have the same touchdown production that he had last season? He scores 11 touchdowns in 16 games last year, and to me, it does still look like he is going to be a touchdown creator in this offense, which is just valuable at tight end. If you get 10 touchdowns out of your tight end, it almost doesn't matter what else they do. 10 touchdowns should be enough for you.
Oh, agreed. I mean, if 10 touchdowns is not enough, then I don't know what to do for you here. All right, there's not much going on at tight end. As you said, George Kittle is driving owners nuts right now, right? He had dropped somewhat. People had put Waller ahead of him, but he was still ahead of Andrews. And that means he's probably on a fourth-round pick who's doing garbage right now. So that's a concern there. And the funny thing about that Tonyan play, by the way, you watch the All-11. He should not have thrown a Tonyan. Lazard was wide open over the middle. I don't think he would have gotten into the end zone, but he was wide open. It was a much easier throw. That's arm arrogance by Aaron Rodgers. Assuming he saw both, maybe he didn't see Lazard, but it was the same, you know, the same eyesight. He had to see him. To throw that ball with Tonyan was like, you got to be kidding me. That guy was covered. Fantastic throw there. And if I'm Davante Adams owner, and I am in a league or two, I'm not upset. It's sort of like Cortland Sutton. All right, you didn't get the touchdown, but you got 8 catches for 120 yards. I'm taking it. Taking it running. Everything will be fine there. You know, I guess Aaron Rodgers for 1 week was right here. I still worry about this team somewhat. And now they play their bugaboo in San Fran, a team that's dominated them the last couple of years, especially on the road Sunday night. We'll see if Green Bay is truly back.
Yeah, I don't think they're truly back. I think that I think this team is going to be a step or two worse than the teams of the last 2 years. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, another interesting guy to mention. He actually leads the Green Bay Packers in air yards, has only 17 actual receptions. But if Marquez Valdes-Scantling gets dropped in your league this week, I do actually think he is a decent guy to add on the waiver wire because as George and Craig are going to talk about on the show tomorrow, not exactly a banner week for waiver wire bidding. It's pretty gross out there, actually. Moving on to the Detroit Lions, Jared Goff had a phenomenal first half, kind of fell apart a little bit in the second half. He was 26 of 36, 246 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, actually ran for 46 yards, not something you're accustomed to getting out of Jared Goff. Believe it or not, Jared Goff, the eighth highest scoring quarterback in fantasy through 2 weeks. Definitely no one had that on their bingo to start the year. Again, the Lions struggled to run the ball. DeAndre Swift, 8 carries for 37 yards. Jamal Williams, 7 for 25. Swift remained involved as a receiver, 4 for 41. Jamal Williams, not as involved as a receiver, 3 for 12 through the air. TJ Hawkinson, 8 for 66 with a touchdown. Quintus Cephas, 4 for 63 with a touchdown. Tyrell Williams did not play in this game. Trinity Benson and Khalif Raymond were the other starting wide receivers. Amon-Ra St. Brown worked in there as well. Where are you at on some of these Lions skill position players, George? Are you trying to trade for DeAndre Swift? Do you like any of these secondary wide receivers?
Well, I'll trade for Swift. I mean, the Lions did not have a problem running the ball yesterday. They just didn't run the ball. Swift, 37 yards, doesn't sound great. He only had 8 carries. It's 4.5 yards a carry. What do you want? I mean, you want 6 yards a carry? I don't know why they went away from him. I know he was banged up a little bit coming into the game. I wonder if that was why. You know, Jamal Williams, he had 3.6 yards a carry. He wasn't getting the job done as much. But then again, Swift's a better back here. So I don't know what the problem was with the run game there. Because the game was close in the first half. So why don't you keep feeding him the ball? Why'd you go away from it? If I can get Swift, I'll take it. I mentioned 4.6 yards a carry. He had 4 catches for 41 yards. Swift was fine. Just fine. I do wonder, once again, with the only 12 touches, were they trying to baby him a little bit? That would be my thing there. Hawkinson, I'll take on my team any day. Any day of the week if I can get Hawkinson. But well, you're not going to be able to get him. Not only swinging a big deal there. Goff, I'm going to pass on there. Cephas seems to be, you know, a guy, hot start. And by week 8, who? Who's Quintus? Oh, yeah, that guy who did well in September, that kind of guy. So, no, I'd be looking to move him if I'm a you know, hey, Cephas, you want Cephas? Hey, they're going to throw the ball. They're going to be behind a lot. You're going to throw the ball a lot to him. He's fast. He gets open all the time. They're only receiver, that sort of thing. Maybe try and play that if you can trade him. Trade I.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the only types of teams that I would be adding Quintus Cephas on, they would be the teams that were like, okay, you lost Jerry Jeudy. Brandon Ayuk is not playing. Michael Gallup's on the IR. Maybe you have Odell Beckham on that team too. Like, I bet I have teams out there that are like that. I bet if I went through, you know, some of my best ball rosters and stuff, I literally bet I have a team with like those four guys. And Cephas, I think over the short term is a guy worth adding. But like, you know, if you have DeAndre Hopkins and Amari Cooper and Cortland Sutton or whatever, I don't think you need to be adding Quintus Cephas. It's definitely a team dependent thing. So then my other question to you as we wrap it up here is basically, which Lions team do you think is legit? Do you think the week one team that threw 50 times is more like what they're going to do, or do you think it'll be a lot more like what we saw on Monday night against the Packers?
Oh, I think it's going to be a lot more like we saw on Monday night. This defense is bad of Detroit. They're going to have some problems this year. And listen, we knew that going in. I don't care what Mr. Ankle Biter is trying to, kneecap biter, whatever you guys trying to tell you in Campbell. This is a rebuilding team. They got a ways to go here. Going to be a lot of bad games. I mean, all credit to them for coming back in that San Fran game. Let's face it, you know, a little better there. Maybe they give it a shot and take that game to overtime. Last night, I think it's more like what you're going to say. They'll have spurts of good play, but then a half where they're just terrible. And teams run away from them. I expect much more of the Monday night team than I do the last Sunday versus San Fran.
Yeah, I think you are probably right. I mean, I think that probably the two guys who are going to end up being big values for the Lions, I believe in Swift. You know, 5 catches a game for a running back goes a long ways, especially if he starts getting some touchdown production. You know, I think Swift might look a lot like Saquon Barkley. Not that he's as good, but just kind of that similar touch profile for a bad team. And then, I mean, Hawkinson at this point, the sky is the limit for him because he is getting so many targets. Like, I would take TJ Hawkinson right now over George Kittle, which is not a sentence I ever thought that that I would be saying. Everyone, we are going to run a break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. When we return, we are going to look at some big fantasy question marks from the undefeated teams in the NFL.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. My name is Davis Maddock. I'm joined by George Kurtz. Before we get into our segment, recent report out of Pittsburgh, Big Ben Roethlisberger is dealing with a pectoral injury that was confirmed by multiple sources. Head coach Mike Tomlin said that it's going to be an issue in preparing for games. So basically, he's going to be on a pitch count at practice. Given how the Steelers' offense looks, you know, it feels not great for him to be injured already. I mean, we basically kind of all knew that that was going to happen. This was a team that definitely should have been in the market for, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Jacoby Brissett, Andy Dalton. I mean, literally, Andy Dalton is not a good NFL quarterback, but he is better than Mason Rudolph. He is better than Josh Dobbs, I believe, is the third string quarterback there in Pittsburgh. I mean, it just feels irresponsible of them. Oh, Dwayne Haskins, right? Brett reminds me it's Dwayne Haskins. Josh Dobbs is in Jacksonville now, I believe. So not a great backup quarterback situation there. I mean, I wish that the Steelers would have tried to get Mac Jones or Justin Fields or Trey Lance, but that did not look like their destiny. So, George, we are going to get to some fantasy question marks from some of these undefeated teams. You'd think, okay, team starts 2-0. Some of these teams' unexpected starts at 2-0, and we're going to take a look at them from a fantasy perspective. The first team is the Las Vegas Raiders. Obviously, Aaron Waller, you are going to start him no matter what. There's just not a matchup where you are going to bench him. 19 targets, 10 receptions, 105 yards, and a touchdown week one against Baltimore. 5 receptions, 65 yards on 92% of the snaps in week two. No questions about that. Derek Carr, though, where are we at on Derek Carr? For fantasy, he has 817 yards, 4 touchdowns through 2 games. Do you think Derek Carr is a fantasy starter?
Oh, and a one quarterback thing, so a top 12 quarterback. I probably have to ride him right now. Do I think he's an absolute starter week in, week out for the rest of the season? No, and I've got him in a couple of leagues, a couple of super flex leagues. All right, so I did have him there. But he's got, once again, another tough matchup this week against Miami, and he's obliterated a tough matchup so far. We thought Baltimore would be a tough matchup. We knew they were banged up, no Marcus Peters. Still, the secondary was considered a strength of that team. No problem, went through him. Pittsburgh, yeah. I know Hayden was out, Bush was out, Watt got hurt. Yeah, I get it. But still, obliterated them. Does he do the same to another good defense? You know, Byron Jones, Xavier Howard, good secondary here. We'll see. You know, if I'm teams, I'm taking Waller. I'm doing my best to take Waller away. It's easier said than done, especially for a tight end. But I'm doing everything I can to force him to throw the wide receivers, who I get it, are good themselves. But I want to see what they can do here. Ruggs is blowing with top off defenses here. They're getting what they want. And this is despite the fact that they're getting nothing from the run game here. So I'm going to say this week, yeah, I got to put him in as a quarterback one. Yeah, I'm just over 800 yards the first two games against two good defenses. I have no choice. They're at home. We'll see here. Do I feel confident about it for the rest of the season? No.
All right. Huge question here. Henry Ruggs. I say yes. I say if I have Henry Ruggs on a team, I'm starting him. I'm doing it. I believe in him. He's so fast. I mean, he got behind that defense on his 61-yard touchdown so fast. Derek Carr, I mean, 817 yards through 2 games. He's been aggressive through the air. I am in on Ruggs. He is a fantasy starter to me.
It's the one big play theory. It's what you're going to need from him week in and week out. Get that touchdown, which he's doing well. And I think with the Raiders, what I like is, you know, they're going to take the shot, right? This is not a shy team. They're going to take the shot. Carr's throwing a better deep ball. He's been criticized about that in the past, that he can't throw or doesn't throw a deep ball well. This year, he's throwing it well. He's dropping it in there. I mean, like, on a bucket, looks fantastic. He doesn't have the Aaron Rodgers arm strength, the gun there that he's going to use. It's more of a, you know, little bomb there. I'm going to agree with you. Once again, I think if you're starting Carr, you're starting Ruggs. Yeah, you sort of have the choice here. They're going to take their shots. I do think this week's going to be rough. I don't think they're going to be able to put up anywhere. And I know that's sort of easy to say. Oh, it's not going to be 400 yards. Thanks. I think this week getting 300 might be a tough one for Carr. So I don't think it'll be a bonanza this week. I just believe, hey, he's off to a hot start. He's starting against good defenses. I'm keeping it up. So if I'm starting Carr, I'm starting Ruggs.
All right, there we go. Moving on to our next team, they play Thursday night, pretty much the easiest possible matchup, right? They're playing against the Houston Texans. I believe they are 11-point favorites right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Pretty intense there for the Carolina Panthers at 2-0. So obviously we know McCaffrey. Obviously we know DJ Moore. Some of their other players are a little bit more interesting. Sam Darnold has been basically playing the best football of his career through two games, 279-1 with a rushing touchdown in week one against the Jets, 305 through the air against the Saints, two passing touchdowns. Looks pretty good. I would not say I feel as good about Darnold. I think especially because we have not seen Christian McCaffrey really do his thing yet this season, right? You know, Christian McCaffrey only has one rushing touchdown. Definitely know when they get down there inside the goal line, they love to hand the ball to him. So Sam Darnold, fantasy starter or not, George?
This is one of those weeks where if you have a Carolina Panther on your team and you're not starting him, I might ask, why is he on your team then? All right, they're playing Houston. Houston's going to go at Mills at quarterback. Does it surprise anyone if Carolina has the ball for 38 minutes on Thursday night? I mean, I think they dominate this game. They may not put up 40 points because they're not that kind of offense here. But like I said, I think you'd look hard at yourself. If you have Robbie Anderson, I can see you not starting Darnold. Maybe, hey, you got a better quarterback. You just drafted two. I get that. But if you have Robbie Anderson on your team, you're not starting him. What do your wide receivers look like? And your flex that you can't put Robbie Anderson in. Yeah, right now they're throwing a deep ball to him more than DJ Moore. Those two have sort of switched positions from last year. Last year was the opposite. Moore was the deep guy. Anderson the underneath. This year, the difference is large. I think it's more averaging about 9 yards a catch or 9 yards in the air, and Anderson's over 20. So I'm starting Robbie Anderson. I don't see how I can get away from that. I just don't. How deep are you at wide receiver that you can't start Robbie Anderson this week? And I'm not starting Dan Arnold. I think tight end I can do better. I'm not quite going that far down the barrel here. But as far as Sam Darnold, I'm taking a strong look at it. I would start Sam Darnold with Baker Mayfield this week without much of a worry there if you have Baker. There's several other quarterbacks that were preseason. We had them ranked ahead of Darnold that I would start Darnold over as well. Once again, going better matchup here. I think Carolina dominates. And Darnold, I thought he played okay week one. He played good week two. And I'd be shocked if that doesn't continue week three.
Yeah, I'm not with you on Robbie Anderson. 9 targets, 4 receptions through 2 weeks, and Terrace Marshall looks like he is going to be just as involved in this offense. I actually think Terrace Marshall looks like a better fit for this offense than Curtis Samuel did. And Brandon Zylstra, a guy whose name I have not heard in a long time. Zylstra came in the league as one of those guys who super athletic, but just not a very productive college player. Looks like he is going to be scraping some playing time away and some targets away from Robbie Anderson. So I'm actually not with you. I think that there are some guys like Ruggs. I think I would maybe rather start Ruggs, Jacoby Myers, guys like that. I might even throw a dart on someone like Tim Patrick or KJ Hamler for the Broncos over Robbie Anderson. Not that I'm saying you have to bench Robbie Anderson, but I don't feel quite as confident as you do. Now, this next team we're about to talk about, good luck figuring it out. The San Francisco 49ers, because we have Debo Samuel and George Kittle listed as must plays, and clearly you're not going to bench George Kittle. Like, there's not a chance if you drafted George Kittle that you're able to bench him. But through 2 weeks this season, he has 9 targets. He has 8 receptions and he has 95 yards. You know, not a banner season for him. And we have Elijah Mitchell listed as a question mark. I disagree. Trey Sermon and Jamichael Hasty are both going to miss multiple weeks with injuries. Trey Sermon, his first NFL carry, he comes in, gets smoked, fumbled the ball. Now he's out injured. Jamichael Hasty has a high ankle sprain. He's going to miss multiple weeks. Listen to these names they signed on their team. Lamar Miller, Kerryon Johnson, Trenton Cannon, and a guy by the name of Jox Patrick, who has been a practice squad player. He went to Florida State University. He was on the Bengals practice squad last year. I mean, Elijah Mitchell is the best running back left standing right now in the 49ers backfield. And if Jeff Wilson Jr. was not injured and he came back into the lineup right now, I think Jeff Wilson Jr. would get, 20 carries this week against Green Bay.
Agreed. Agreed. And how has San Fran beaten Green Bay in the past with the run game here? It's what they want to do here. It's where they dominated the Packers. You're starting Elijah Mitchell, assuming we like what we hear about his health, his day-to-day. I think I'd be shocked if he doesn't play. I love the names you read off there. It's, blast from the past. Yeah, this guy's still around. Wow, he can still play. Interesting. Listen, they're down to what, their 6th and 7th and 8th running back here? They're in some trouble. They're in some trouble at running back here. If Mitchell were to go down, I'm not sure they would have a running game here. They may have to put Trey Lance back there to run the ball. They're in some trouble here. I'm not starting anybody other than Mitchell as far as the running game is concerned. I'm not dipping any further than that. I am starting Deebo Samuel's look great. Brandon Ayuk we can put on this list. What do we think about him? Man, they're playing games at the wide receiver position too. As far as I don't think I want to start him. I think Ayuk's that guy. I'm going to have to wait until he has that big game. Okay, I can put him back in there now. Other than that, I'm going in a different direction.
Yeah, the Brandon Ayuk thing, one of the strangest things that I remember in fantasy. So the report from The Athletic was last week that Ayuk was doing the wide receiver drills by himself, right? Like that he was so far down the depth chart. I remember the report was that River Crackraft was playing ahead of Brandon Ayuk in practice. Now, Ayuk did play more in game number 2, 38 snaps, 54% of targets, but only one catch through 2 games. Very bizarre stuff there. Everyone, we are going to go ahead and run into break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. When we return, Super Bowl odds, MVP odds, taking a look at the futures market. We're going to get deep into the weeds there. Stay on the grid here on Fantasy Sports Today. We'll see you guys back in a few moments. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined by George Kurtz. Before we get into our analysis of the futures market on the FanDuel Sportsbook, need to remind everyone, you got to follow at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. I do this myself. You know, Saturdays are my day off. I'm not working. They don't have me in the content mines on Sports Grid or Daily Roto. So I'm not at my computer. I'm not on my TV all day that day, but I gotta know what's going on in the college football games. I gotta know what sides everyone is taking. I gotta get all the content from the network. So I get the push notifications for at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV on my phone. You guys should all do it too. Stay up to date with the best lines, news, and analysis for everything going on in the world of fantasy sports and wagering. Follow at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. So George, we're 2 weeks in. We've got some injuries. We've got some guys who are playing way better than expected. We've got some guys playing way worse than expected. The Super Bowl odds have been updated. The Kansas City Chiefs are still the favorite, despite that fumble by Clyde Edwards-Helaire causing them to lose the game against the Ravens. They're 5-1. The Buccaneers have gotten a little bit shorter at plus 550. The interesting thing to me is that everyone else has gotten deeper. The FanDuel Sportsbook is telling us this is kind of a two-team race for Super Bowl right now.
I think they're right. I think they're right. I don't see anybody else in the NFC that can really compete with the Buccaneers right now. It's a long season, 15 more weeks. Things could change, injuries and so on and so on. But, I mean, I like the teams in the NFC West. I do. You know, Seattle, tough loss against Tennessee. San Fran, you're going to have quarterback issues, I think, all year. I don't think they're going to lead you. Arizona, I find interesting, but you're talking about playing shootouts week in and week out. I don't like that defense all that much. And the Rams, you're a stars and scrubs team. And if a couple of those stars go down, you're going to be in trouble here. So I don't see anybody competing with the Buccaneers right now. Certainly not from the NFC East. So I'm a Cowboy fan. They're not there. I know they gave them a great win week one. Fine. We'll say you still lost the game, though. I don't know if you can play any better, and you still lost that game. And the Packers, no, they can't go there. So I think it is the Buccaneers. I think the AFC is a little bit more wide open. Like I said, Chiefs, you got to clamp down that on that run game. Teams are running all – Cleveland had no problem week one, and Baltimore certainly had no issues Sunday night. So they got to clamp down that run game. But I'll say this, you know, Baltimore rushes for all those yards. I know people have said, oh, Lamar Jackson's great comeback. The Ravens didn't win that game. KC lost it. You mentioned the Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumble. Let's not forget the Mahomes interception, which is a really, really bad. You know, that really ignited everything there. You take those two, take one away, they win the game. So in my mind, KC lost that more than Baltimore won. They got to score the points. Congratulations to them. But I don't put them in KC's category. Buffalo, want to see a little bit more of Josh Allen. Not playing like the Josh Allen of last year right now. Making some mistakes that he didn't make. They're still 1-1, but I need to see them step up a little bit.
Yeah, I'm with you. I have a hot take, though. The Rams are the best team in the NFC. They are better than the Buccaneers. Stafford absolutely lights out. I mean, it feels like every single pass that guy has made has been on point. And if you want to compare the defenses, it's not close. The Los Angeles Rams defense is better than the Buccaneers defense. You know, Aaron Donald, basically the best defensive player in the NFL. Jalen Ramsey, the best cornerback in the NFL. And I, you know, Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, they certainly don't have the name cachet that Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Antonio Brown have. But I really do think that the best bet on the board right now, I mean, obviously, if I could only bet one team, you said, Davis, you know, this is a 4-year life wager. You got to make it. I would bet the Chiefs. But the best expected value wager on the board to me is the Rams at 13-1. Because if the Rams beat the Buccaneers this Sunday, the Buccaneers go to 700 and the Rams go to like 900 probably. I think this might be one of the last times to get the Rams at double-digit money to win the Super Bowl. What do you think about that?
I would agree with you. I think, once again, if you don't have a value, it is the Rams. I don't put much faith in the 49ers. I don't think they get there again, or the Ravens. I don't think they'll beat Kansas City again. So I agree with you about the Rams. Did you know this is the first time Tom Brady has ever played in Los Angeles? Weird for as long as he's been around. First time he's ever played in L.A. when he plays the Rams on Sunday. Just found that a nice little weird, quirky little stat there. My only worry with the Rams, they were stars and scrubs team. You take away one or two of those guys, the team's going to crumble real quick. But the biggest difference between, in my mind, is, as far as the defense, Aaron Donald is the best defensive player. We know that. Buccaneers have a damn good defense, but it's weak on the back end. There's a reason they're bringing in Richard Sherman among other players this week to try and strengthen that up. They're also injured back there. So right now, the Bucs are going to be forced to play a lot of high-scoring games. They can do that, mind you. But right now, that's their issue. Their front seven's good. Back four, secondary, not so much. Where the Rams are more spread out on defense. You got Donald. You have a solid linebacker core. You got Rams who can lock down if they choose to go that direction. Your top wide receiver. So overall, I do like the Rams' defense better. But I think the Bucs' defense is also going to be much better than it's played right now. Then again, through 2 weeks, it can't get much worse.
Yeah. All right. This is my favorite thing to bet in sports, right? For baseball, for basketball, for the NFL. I love to bet on the MVP, and I love to track it all season long. We've actually had some line movement this morning on the FanDuel Sportsbook as well. Patrick Mahomes is still 5-1. Brady is 6-1 to win the MVP. A little bit of line movement this morning because I bet FanDuel took a big bet in because Kyler Murray is now 6-1 to win the MVP. If I was casting my vote right now, George, 100% goes to Kyler Murray. He has been the most impressive player through 2 weeks. And the Cardinals roster, I don't think, is very good. So if the Cardinals find a way to get the first or second wild card coming out of that NFC West, I actually think Kyler probably wins. Matthew Stafford is 10-1. Aaron Rodgers is 12-1. Josh Allen is 13-1. Our guy, Dak Prescott, 14-1. Russell Wilson, 14-1. Let me tell you this, though. The best bet you can make right now, and it's not even close, Lamar Jackson, 15-1. I mean, Lamar Jackson gets these insane video game numbers. If he just has a couple good passing games against these bad teams to make his passing numbers look a little bit better, remember he led the NFL in passing touchdowns in 2019. Now, a huge part of that was luck. 9.6% of his passing attempts went for touchdowns that year. But if Lamar Jackson runs for 1,300 yards and 10 touchdowns and then adds 3,500 passing yards and 30 touchdowns on top of that, I think he beats Mahomes. I think he beats Dak. I think he beats Brady. I mean, how often do you get a former MVP who just had the... I think that win against the Chiefs, that had to have been the biggest win of Lamar Jackson's career. I mean, can you think of a bigger... I mean, maybe the first playoff game he won was a big one, but I think beating the Chiefs is just a monumental deal for Lamar Jackson. So Kyler would be my vote to win MVP right now, but I am slamming that button on Lamar Jackson to win MVP at that number.
Yeah, I can pretty much parrot everything you said. I was hoping you weren't going to bring up Lamar Jackson because I had a nice little speech going about him. He is the MVP. I don't know if he's going to win it, but he is the MVP because without him, there's no offense. None. He is their offense. He's the reason they win games. They don't have a great receiving core. There is no DeAndre Hopkins on this team. There is no Tyler Lockett or DK Metcalf on this team. All right, go through every quarterback that we just named there. All right, Tom Brady, there's no Godwin. There's no Evans. There's no Brown. There's nobody. It's all about what Lamar can do. Can he run? Can he run for 100 yards, 120 yards a game? Get those first downs. Make those plays. He has to. He has no choice. Lamar Jackson is the Baltimore Ravens offense. I know you might say the same thing, oh, Mahomes. Got Kelsey, got Hill, got two great players. You know, Lamar has none of that. None. Andrews is nowhere near what Kelsey is. Marquise Brown's nowhere near what Tyreek Hill is. It's all about Lamar Jackson. He is the MVP. The problem is I think the voters get a little bored. They don't want to vote for that. That's why Mahomes may not win it. Same thing. Oh, it's Mahomes. He's supposed to do that. Let's find somebody else. You know, Kyler Murray is a guy I think I was 1 year. I was high on him last year. I think I had him, I think it was 25-1 last year before the season. So we were, a bunch of us were on him. I know Mike Blewett and I are both on him. Didn't work out. Maybe a year off there. But Lamar Jackson is the MVP. I hope Russell Wilson gets more love too. I don't think he's ever had an MVP vote, which is just nuts to me. Absolutely nuts because he's similar. Yeah, that's nuts because granted they've given him better weapons now. But at one time, he was their offense, right? They had no running game, no offensive line, and no receivers. Russell Wilson was literally going behind the line going, all right, guys, I'm going to do this. And eventually I'll find somebody open here with three guys trailing me, trying to kill me. So just the nuts that he's never had an MVP vote. But Lamar Jackson is the MVP. I don't know if he'll win it, but what he does for that team is amazing. We haven't seen this. We just haven't seen this in the NFL where it's all a one-man show. And no one can stick with them. No one can catch this man. He goes this way, it stops on a dime and goes that way. It's amazing what he can do here. And I love Harbaugh, by the way. Anybody who thinks Harbaugh was going to punt that ball, there was no way. He already made up his decision when he went to Lamar. Hey, Lamar, you want to go for it? What's Lamar going to say? I don't know, coach. I'm a little banged up here. I'm worried about the deal. Of course he's going to say. It could have been 4th and 90. He's going to say, go for it. That was a great motivation, mental ploy by Harbaugh. He already knew he was going for it, and you know the player's going to agree. But now the player's like, oh, coach just took my input to go for it on a huge play there. Yeah, it's all BS. Harbaugh was always going for it, but good for him. It worked out. And by the way, good for him for going for it. If you gave that ball back to Mahomes, you were going to lose. I wish more coaches would do this. Have some stones, guys. Stop playing by the book. You know what? I punted the ball. He had to go 80 yards to beat us. He did. It happens all the time with great players. It's all built for them to do that. Keep your offense on the field. Take some chances.
Yeah. No, I'm with you 100%. The other guy that is getting buzz right now, and I don't agree with it at all, This is I absolutely hate when NFL like personalities do this NFL journalists do this. But Derek Carr, right? He's up to 25-1 on the FanDuel Sportsbook to win NFL MVP, and people are saying Ross Tucker, who I like, tweeted this morning that the front runner for MVP right now is Derek Carr, and I get that he just had the best game of his career. That win against the Ravens was a huge game. There is just not a world where Derek Carr is getting MVP votes. It 0%. Derek Carr, his whole career, will never get an MVP vote. It'll never happen. I'd rather bet on Jalen Hurts at 50-1 and say Jalen Hurts could run for 12 touchdowns or something. He could have this insane rushing season. Friends, do not waste your money betting on Derek Carr to win MVP. It will never, ever, ever happen.
I was thinking the same thing when originally when you put it up, I'm like, Carr, he would probably need a lot of guys that would be hurt and be out here. He's the kind of guy, Carr, for me, where if he has a big year this year, he'll be in the conversation next year. He's got to do it again. You're not just once you get up there above all these guys. There'll be too many guys that are going to have big numbers. He'll have to do it again next year. There'll be too many other sexy names, and Carr's not going to get it. That being said, like I said, got him on a couple of teams. Keep doing what you're doing. You're on pace for about 7,000 yards. I know that's not going to happen, but I'll take it. I'll take what I can get from Derek Carr, but you're right. No way.
Yeah, no way. And I mean, I guess the interesting thing is we just got through that whole segment. Dak Prescott, who I thought had a very good chance to win MVP, it kind of looks, and I wonder if you agree, and we can talk about this more a little bit later on in the show, but the Cowboys defense looked pretty good against the Chargers, and they ran the ball a ton. I mean, they were giving Zeke the ball. They were giving Pollard the ball. Also, Dak is just not running at all this year, which is that's very odd for him. Only 4 rushing attempts, 13 yards through 2 games for Dak Prescott. So I kind of thought Dak had a chance to win MVP, but I mean, he doesn't hold a candle right now to Kyler or Lamar or Mahomes, and then even Brady. So unfortunately, it looks like those Dak for MVP wagers are dead. Everyone, we are going to go ahead and run into a break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. When we return, we are going to remember the 21st night of September, and then head into the second hour of the show. Everyone, stay tuned. Stay on the grid. See you in a moment. Break.
The Early Line.
The Tennessee Titans are supposed to be the favorites.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined today by George Kurtz while Craig Mish takes his scheduled day off. If you had to do a TV show with me every day, you'd schedule a day off during the week, too. George only has to deal with me for one day a week, but I have a very simple question for you, George. Do you remember the 21st night of September, Earth, Wind, and Fire?
No. No, I have no idea what you guys are talking about, so I do not.
You really
you actually have faith that I would?
Yeah, I thought you were a big music guy. This is surprising to me because I even know this one, and this is way before my time. But the 21st night of September is, of course, an Earth, Wind, and Fire song. I think the song is just called September. But George, I am shocked you don't know this Earth, Wind, and Fire song.
Definitely not by name. Now I'm going to have to play it during the break to see if I just never knew the name of the song here. Because I by name, no. It doesn't ring. I mean, it doesn't ring any bells whatsoever.
Okay, when you play it at the break, you'll know exactly what we're talking about. You'll put it on and you'll be like, okay, yeah, I've heard this song 100 times. Like this is like a doctor's office, like waiting room songs. Like they play this on the classic rock station all the time. And I even know this as a young person who certainly I've only seen, I guess this is my 29th, 21st night of September. But everyone, we are going to go ahead and wrap up hour one here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid TV. If you want to go back, if you're just tuning in now, we have all of these segments on demand. You can go find our futures market update. We took a look at the Monday Night Football game. We took a look at some fantasy question marks for the Las Vegas Raiders, the Carolina Panthers, the San Francisco 49ers. In the second hour of the show, we have our Tuesday headlines. We're going to dig deep into underdog fantasy. We're going to look at some of the Thursday night pick'em lines. And we're also going to take a look at buying the dip on some prominent fantasy players. See you guys back in just a few moments. Stay tuned to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV.